Symptoms. Nobody likes to feel symptoms, whatever the symptom is, whether it's physical, emotional, spiritual. But symptoms are very important in terms of our health and well-being in life. Today on Ask Dr. Gill, I want to discuss the role of symptoms and why it is so important in terms of overall health. So stay tuned. Ask Dr. Gill. I'm Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to discuss the role of symptoms. And I briefly discussed this concept of seams in a previous podcast, and I'll go back through that here in a minute. But I think that it's really important to understand that symptoms aren't always a bad thing. And I've had patients call me sometimes and say, oh, I have X. And what I'm talking about here is mild stuff, not stuff that is telling us something where we need imaging or, you know, it's a serious illness. And certainly the symptoms of the body might be pointing to that. But I think that what encouraged me to do this podcast on this topic is how people basically assume, oh, I have a symptom, I'm going to take a drug for that or even an herb, and then I don't have to worry about it. And I liken this to basically taking a piece of duct tape and putting it over the check engine light on your dashboard. It's not necessarily that the check engine light means you need a new car. It just means that there's something going on. And symptoms play the same sort of role in the body. And, you know, I mean, as an example, it can be very uncomfortable to have the symptoms when you have food poisoning. You know, nausea, vomiting, diarrhea that can come with that. But that's your body's way of clearing something that it knows is toxic to it. And so by trying to stop that, you're basically increasing the chance of long-term illness. And certainly if it goes on for more than, say, 7 days, you definitely want to be seen by a physician to make sure that there's something else that isn't going on in your body. But for a day or two, there's nothing wrong with that. And if you just let it happen, although sometimes you can't because of life situation, whatever, but if you just let it clear itself, then your system is cleaned out and you start to feel better. And this is kind of an interesting aspect in my mind about the role of what symptoms are doing, because they're basically in some sense, a warning light for us, right? Whether that's mental or emotional, and a lot of times, or physical, a lot of times patients will come to me with anxiety, and the anxiety is actually a symptom of something else going on in the body. And this is something that I think is super important. So just to kind of review, there is this concept that I talk about with patients called seams. So we have a bunch of repeated letters in this, but there is sleep, energy, appetite, mood, menses for the women, and sense of well-being. And all of these sort of sum up what is going on in the body. And then I'll ask about musculoskeletal, because I think pain, tightness, and so forth can be a sign of inflammation in the body as well. And that's really what it boils down to, in a sense, right? It is that when the body becomes inflamed, the first thing that happens is that we start to have symptoms. Why? Because the inflammation mechanisms are there to remove things that are not needed by the body. And those mechanisms, in the form of interleukins and cytokines, are things that will create various sorts of what we feel as symptoms and illness. You know, if you get the cold or a flu, your body is trying to slow things down, remove the offending agent, and it does that by using various communications between cells in the form of cytokines, pro-inflammatory cytokines and interleukins, that are coming through and moving lymphocytes and the defense systems of the body to areas that they are needed. And if that is happening absent an infectious agent, say you eat something that your body doesn't like having, and by the way, that also doesn't have to be an infectious agent. That could be something like artificial colors or artificial sweetener. Your body's going to respond to it like a foreign object and want to get rid of it. And so this is where we have these ailments that show up, food sensitivities and so forth, because the body is in effect attacking that agent. And when that does that, it's going to bring ideally it will bring temperature up, or it will drive it down first and then bring it up. It will make you feel achy, tired, and so forth. And it's actually interesting that a lot of times when we feel that malaise when we get sick, that's actually a mechanism to stop people from interacting with others so that the illness doesn't spread. It's actually an interesting thing about the Spanish flu pandemic in 1918. It happened to coincide in the United States with the end of World War I. And people wanted to go out and celebrate, but they weren't feeling well. Well, there's this new wonder drug called aspirin, and people started taking it in really high doses, which was not good because of something called Reye's syndrome. But they would then go out, and then that's how to celebrate, and that's how the pandemic kept spreading. So it's kind of an interesting mechanism that we have to stop us from doing that, which is we're going to feel depressed, tired, and so forth. So stay tuned. We'll talk more about this in the second half of the show. Hello, and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I'm Dr. Gill Winkleman, and today we're talking about the role of symptoms in the body. I just want to remind people that if you have a question or a comment, you can always email me at info@askdrgill.com. That's info at askdrgill.com. And you can also check out my website at the same URL. On that site, there is a form under the schedule button, and you can send a question through there if that's more appropriate for you. So today we're talking about the role of symptoms, and I've talked a little bit about sort of the inflammatory response. And here's the thing about symptoms that's interesting in fevers and so forth. So when there's an inflammatory response, the body sends signals, or the cells will send out these molecules, cytokines and so forth, that will create situations so that the body can clear whatever is there. And there are different etiologies of inflammation. There's physical, so you can get, you know, you can get a cut or a burn or frostbite or some kind of physical trauma. There's also chemical that causes it. Too much sugar, too much fatty acids, toxins, which I alluded to at the beginning of the show, alcohol, too much alcohol in particular, chemical irritants such as heavy metals or fluoride, too much fluoride, biological causes of inflammation, and these are non-infectious. So damaged cells, and this is an important one because one of the causes of aging, at least in terms of the theory, is something called senescence. And senescence is a cell that doesn't divide anymore and doesn't become useful in the body. And what it does is it produces hormones that try and recruit more cells to be like it, to be senescent. And think of it as, you get these zombie cells in the body. They're basically, that's what they are. They should die, but they don't. Well, inflammation is something that allows the body to find these and then kill them. And there are actually treatments for this that we can do with herbal treatments and so forth, with something called senolytics, that basically increases infection. And this may be why, if you've ever been really, really sick, like you had the flu and you had 104 temperature, which I have had, it is something that, you know, after you recover, you actually start to feel really good. And it's not just that you're not sick anymore, which is what I used to think. It's that the fever allowed your body to find these cells and clear them. And by the way, they also clear cancer cells, because most people are walking around with some amount of cancer cells in their body. And I don't say that to make you feel worried. Your natural immune response should be taking care of those. And that this is, again, where inflammation is really important for the body. And when there's inflammation, you will feel symptoms. And this is the point I'm trying to make on this. And then lastly, there's psychological, in terms of the non-infectious, there's psychological, you know, too much excitement that can actually lead, too much stress that can lead to inflammation as well. And then, of course, you know, we've got the microbiological issues that show up, bacteria, viruses, parasites, and so forth. Now, I don't really want to go into the details of inflammatory cascade and pathways because, one, it's incredibly complicated for this discussion, but also these are things that are changing pretty rapidly with a lot of these, the new research in immunology. And I will say this, it was kind of interesting because I remember taking immunology in medical school, and I went to medical school quite a bit after I finished undergrad, and I remember thinking, actually, it wasn't even that many years, it was like 10 or 15 years, but I remember thinking how much had changed. as a result of, you know, what we've learned in the research. So, but the important thing is that there's different cytokines. There's interleukins, there's TNF-alpha, there's interferons, and so forth. And they have various roles in the body that are pro-inflammatory and anti-inflammatory, and they're going to create these symptoms in the body that will make you feel unwell. And I think it's important to recognize that that is something that will happen as part of a healing process. So if you start taking vitamins or undas or herbs or something else, it is not unusual to have what we call a healing crisis. And that's because you start to move the blocks not to health, but you start to remove the blocks to the positive inflammation that is needing to happen in the body. And where this goes awry is when the body can't figure out what's going on in terms of the inflammatory aspect of things. And one of the things I probably talked about in a podcast, and at some point I know I've written articles about this, is that when there's a head trauma, because the brain has its own inflammatory pathways, sometimes that inflammation, it leaks into the body. So remember, if you cut yourself, for example, that cut needs to heal. And the way it does is you get inflammation. And so you're bringing the garbage collecting cells and the healing cells, the helper cells, to that region where the inflammation is happening. And so the brain does the same thing. It's just that the body's immune system is toxic to the brain, to neurons. And so that's why they have, it's almost like we have two different immune systems. And sometimes that immune system from the brain leaks into the body. And that's where the problem can arise. So hopefully, if you get one thing out of this podcast, it's to understand that symptoms are a guidepost for where we need to sort of look at how to help your body heal. And sometimes it's about lowering inflammation. Sometimes it's about raising inflammation in an appropriate way so that the body can then begin to heal itself. And by the way, this is in naturopathic medicine, this is the idea of something called fever treatments or hydrotherapy, where you kind of shock the system. And, in hydrotherapy, which is, by the way, can be great if you have a cold or a flu, you heat the body up and then you put cold on it to kind of shock the system. And oftentimes when we would do this with patients, because I did this when I was in my clinic, it would cause a parasympathetic response so that the body relaxed and then people fell asleep. And eventually what happens is that it allows whatever the illness, the physical illness, to kind of move through the body. Because what we want to do is take this hot illness, hot illness being around the infectious agent, and allow the body to sort of push it out so it doesn't get, in a sense, trapped in the body or trapped in this quasi, inflammatory state. And so this is where oftentimes symptoms, trying to stop symptoms can actually lead to problems long term for people. So, and as a quick example, oftentimes when you give some kind of steroid, topical steroid to a baby with atopic dermatitis, eczema, that can actually create asthma later in their life. And it's because the body is trying to get something out of the system and you're basically forcing it back in. So that's kind of the piece about that. All right, that's what I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed this, and hopefully this will kind of help you rethink physical symptoms, and as well as think about how and what it is you will talk to your physician about. And if you have questions, again, feel free to email me at info@AskDrGill, A-S-K-D-R-G-I-L. Hope you enjoyed this, and I look forward to talking to you next time.